Hello, this is Liz Lawless with Creative Passions Radio, and I'm so excited today. We've got a special guest with us, Geach Cook. Geach is a fifth-generation Texan, but he's also a Texas folklorist and an entrepreneur, and we're going to be talking about his passions today. Geach, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Liz. I'm glad to be here.
Today, let's talk a little bit. What are your main passions? Tell me your passions for Texas,
my gosh.
History, and
life. Life is a passion, I tell you what, and there's so many aspects to it. It's a passion to have fun, and I think you should have fun with whatever you do in your life. You should have fun with it. I grew up in a family of fun people in South Austin. We had a little family farm over there. Raised all our own food. We were totally self-sufficient. Okay. There were 8 kids in our family, and then it was right after World War II, and so we had a lot of cousins and friends and strangers that came and stayed a long time. We never knew who was coming down to breakfast, and it was just real, real interesting. And we had an old cowboy named Colonel Talley, who had fought in the Civil War, that lived with us, and he had trapped wild Mustangs over near Lockhart, Texas,
just out of Austin. The road,
So we had all of these wonderful, creative, clever people came. A lot of singers came and stayed with us. My uncle's wife was a professional folk singer, and so we always had a lot of good music. My folks sang a lot. And this was, of course, the days before television.
And we did have radio.
We only had a radio in the car. And so we'd sit out there and listen to Sky King and that sort of thing till we wore the battery down, and then we'd have to push the car in the morning
to get it going.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I rode horseback to school. I went to the Catholic school there and then went to high school, and we rode horseback to school, and it was
a great way to grow up.
It was a great way to grow up, and it was a multicultural neighborhood. You know, we had Polish people from refugees from the war, and black and Hispanic, so we had all this wonderful good music all the time. And these were the days, still we had segregation in Texas, and my family didn't much believe in segregation. And so Mama would take all of the neighborhood kids over to Barton Springs, which is a big spring-fed swimming pool, the city pool there. And we had these little black kids and little brown kids and Oriental kids and white kids. They were fairly prominent in Austin. Her father was a judge there in Austin. And one day the lifeguard came over and said, "Miss Cook, you know this is a segregated pool." And she said, "What do you mean? These are all my children." And he just walked off. Didn't know what else to say about that.
Didn't know what to say to her.
But they had the first integrated restaurant in Austin.
Tell me a little bit about that. That's the family restaurant still there today?
Still there today. It's called Green Pastures, and it was their old family home. Where my mother was raised, and my grandfather, who was a judge, came from Alabama, son of a sharecropper, and went to law school there and became a judge. He traded the land where the University of Texas football stadium is for a farm out in the country because it was so. He just thought it was important to be able to live that country life. And they tell how the neighbors just cried when they all left because they were going so far, you know, to
South Austin,
really still kind of a separate part of Austin. You know, it's not really recognized as part of Austin. I think it's a much more colorful part myself. But anyway, we had a great time.
All kinds of characters and people coming through and. Especially once the restaurant started.
There was a singer in Austin named Virgie DeWitty, a black singer. And, of course, there was really no nice places for the black community to go. And she had come back from a concert in Europe. And she had sang. She was an opera singer and classical singer. So she asked Mama if she could have a party there. And so, of course, it's great. And they had a great party. And, of course, the next day, all the phone lines were ringing, you know, all the society ladies of Austin said, "Mary, I understand you had a Negro woman out there the other day at a party." She said, "Oh, you must be talking about Virgie DeWitty. You know, she just got back. She was singing in Europe at La Scala, and she sang for the Pope, and she's going to have another party here next month. I'll see if I can get you an invitation.
But
they were not—they were not intimidated by
all of that. Calls.
And but the Ku Klux Klan in Austin were big enemies of my family because my grandfather was one of the first civil rights judges there, lawyers in Texas.
In Texas, wow.
And they had a big camp meeting. My dad was Catholic, mother was Methodist, but the Baptists had a big tent meeting there. In South Austin, and Dad sang and Mama sang, and so they sang in the choir because they just loved to sing and they had beautiful voices.
Uh-huh.
So the last night of the camp meeting, the Ku Klux Klan put on their robes across the street and came in to present the visiting preacher with a check.
Uh-huh.
And there was such animosity between them that when the Klansmen came past Dad in the choir, Daddy snatched off his hood and slugged him. And they had a big free-for-all.
At the Baptist revival meeting.
And that preacher, and I think it wasn't peculiar to the Baptists, but he said they were doing a Brotherhood Week. And the Methodists started a Brotherhood Week, and he said he quit doing it.
Right.
He said, "We're not going to do it anymore." Said, "Why?" He said, "Because the Baptists and the Catholics and everybody started horning in on it."
Geach, let's talk a little bit about some of your other entrepreneurial adventures. So let's tell me a little bit about how you got involved in Luckenbach, Texas.
Well, there was I do think it's real important to follow your passions and things that you love. I think that's the most important thing, and whatever living you make will be a great living.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very, very profitable, and sometimes it's marginal. But still, I think it's just worth it to go for it. But there was an ad in the Fredericksburg paper, a Fredericksburg, Texas paper, said town for sale in the classified section, and it said went on to explain that the egg route would make payments on the town. And so I'd always wanted to buy a town. And so I got with my friend Hondo Crouch, which is not a disease you get from riding Japanese motorcycles. He's a rancher up there. And we bought Luckenbach.
You bought Luckenbach, Texas,
which was a little
town.
It opened in 1849 as an Indian trading post because the Germans up there had made one of the only treaties with the Indians that was ever kept, and they were able
that's
to
exactly
do that.
Right.
We had a post office there for about a week, and they closed the post office. And part of it was because we were just trying to save the post office money, and we wouldn't send out the mail sack, until it got full. And it took so long that they just said, they're going to close this post office, which they did. So then we were selling on Mondays and Tuesdays. The local ranchers and farmers brought in eggs and cheese and butter, they traded it for feed and groceries and beer. And then on Wednesdays, I took the eggs to San Antonio and peddled them door to door. And sure enough, it made payments on the town. And then we got a little greedier because we said, this is going awfully slow, selling this at a dozen a piece. What could we do to really make some money here? And so somebody suggested we get us a parking meter. And so we got a parking meter. Well, we put it over across the street from the post office, grocery store, beer joint in front of the dance hall. And you know, the Germans up there are such thrifty people. They save everything. And you know, to make a living off that hard rock country, you have to be thrifty. And so we had that parking meter there for almost 3 weeks, and nobody used it. And finally, one afternoon, a guy from Houston came by, and he saw that parking meter, and he stopped, and because you know there's no place to park in Houston.
Right.
And so I think it just instinct, he stopped there and put a quarter in it and came into the store and bought a Dr. Pepper and then got back in his car and left. And there were three ranchers, German ranchers, sitting there, and they saw all that time on the parking meter going to waste, and they jumped in their trucks, and it was the biggest wreck we ever had there in Luckenbach.
All three of them converged on the parking meter. They wanted that time on the meter that was left over.
because they don't want to waste anything.
That's right.
And then once we thought, well, let's try some other things. So we were holding the ladies' chili bust up there that Frank Talbert here in Dallas helped us get started. And because women were not allowed to cook in the national championship in Terlingua.
That's right.
Unless they had qualified, and they weren't allowed to cook in other chili cook-offs. So we held the women's, and sure enough, our contestant Janie Sophia won the nationals too, and so that was pretty popular, as a matter of fact. And everybody in the neighborhood, you know, all the neighbors loved coming over there. And one afternoon, I'd gone down to see some old friends of mine, the Kuhlmans, who lived right down the road, and they farmed and ranched right down the road from Luckenbach. And I asked Miss Kuhlman. I said, "Miss Kuhlman, did you go to the chili cook-off this year?" She said, "Oh, yeah, Geach, you know, we was just getting ready to go over there, and that little rat terrier dog of mine, Raggy, ran a skunk up under the house." And so I didn't know what to do. I said, "Well, you know, Miss Kuhlman, when I was teaching wildlife to children, I was showing them how you can pick a skunk up by the tail and not get sprayed." And I only missed it about 18 inches. And it's not a spray. It's chunks of stuff that stick to you. And the man told me that if you will wash off with tomatoes, so I took a bushel of ripe tomatoes down to the lake and washed off. And sure enough, it took off that skunk smell. She said, "Yeah, Geach, I had heard that. And just that day I had been canning some tomatoes, and I had 3 quarts of them there on the drain board, and I thought I would try that. And I put Raggy in that little dishpan there in the sink and took one of those jars of tomatoes and washed him down real good, and it took that stink out. But you know what? I just couldn't bring myself to throw out those tomatoes. And we went over to the chili cook-off, and I came in third." So there's always lots of ways to make money, and parts of it is save
money. Saving money and making money.
And then we did the Luckenbach World's Fair that was really a lot of fun because we discovered...
People came from all over the world.
We discovered as a result of a junior high science project that Luckenbach was in the center of the globe. What Otis Wiedemeyer did, he had found a globe and found Luckenbach on the globe, and then got a piece of string, the exact circumference of the globe, put one end on Luckenbach, and went around the globe, and it came right back to Luckenbach. And so with that scientific proof, we decided there's something that we need to be doing. This is manifest destiny.
We're promoting this to all the world.
Oh, it was good. So we had the World's Fair there. And one thing that we did, I didn't realize how environmentally conscious we were, but we wanted to help our carbon footprint. So we had a non-flyover by the Blue Angels. And this was something that people all over America at that time could participate in. And at 12:30 to 1 o'clock, if they would go outside and look up and not see the Blue Angels flying over, they knew that's the same thing that we were seeing at Luckenbach. And so not only did it save the government a lot of money which is our money, and thank you all very much for the ways you spend it, but the Blue Angels are a fabulous group. But anyway, so I didn't realize that we were really kind of advanced even then.
Who wrote the lyrics to the song?
I'm embarrassed that I don't remember, but I was in California at the Troubadour, and I was there with Willie Nelson. And he told me, he said, "Geach, we just wrote a song. It's going to be a number one hit, and it's called Luckenbach, Texas." And I said, "Oh, I can't imagine a song about Luckenbach being a big hit." But I've been very accurate on a lot of my judgments like that.
It turned out to be number one.
And then it was just
people. Well, Willie and them, did they come through Luckenbach?
Willie came to our first World's Fair, and he came to our second World's Fair and just played. He used to play dominoes there.
At the post office.
And then at the post office bar. And he would play with Armin Engel, and Armin would always make Willie put his money up on the table. It was like 25 cents a game.
Right.
Make sure he had the cash, because, you know, he didn't look like he was all that prosperous. He'd put his money up before he would deal the shuffle.
Well, this has been great fun, but we appreciate you coming out and being here with us with Creative Passions Radio. And it is important for people to be creative and have a good time and entertain other people and have fun, because life's too short, you know. You can always talk about something negative if you have to, but there's too many fun things to be doing in the meantime, I think, don't you?
What good is fun if you're not having any?